Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Two individuals in a couple can make vastly different amounts of money at work. And if one makes, say, $125,000 and the other makes $25,000, as a pair, they're going to pay more tax than if each made $75,000. And that's true in retirement too, if those incomes are disparate. Hence the opportunity of income splitting. What is it? How does it work? What are the different ways you can do it? Jason Heath is the managing director of Objective Financial Partners, a fee-only, advice-only financial planning firm. And he joins us now to talk about how that works. Hello there.
Hey, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
In a sentence, how do you describe what income splitting is and whether or not it's legal?
Yeah, so income splitting is legally moving income from one individual to another. It's a lot easier in some other countries where people file joint tax returns and a couple can combine their income. But here in Canada, we report our own income. And as you mentioned, you can have a big disparity in tax rates. If you can split income, you can save tax.
Give me some other examples of scenarios in which this is something that's really worth people focusing on. So I mentioned just simply salary disparity. What else would you say would have you, as you talk to clients, like you should actually think about this?
Yeah. I mean, salary disparity, I mean, that's a good one. The example you gave, $125,000 of income, someone might be paying 45% tax on their last dollar earned versus a $25,000 income spouse might only be paying 20% tax. So to the extent you can move income to lower income spouse, it can be advantageous. Some of the easier ways to do it while you're still working are if you are self-employed. If you're self-employed, you can pay a family member a tax deductible salary as long as it's legitimate. They're actually doing the work. You can't just, you know, pay them a big salary for doing nothing. So business owners always have the easiest opportunity. Business owners as well have the advantage of adding a new taxpayer into the mix. If you can set up a corporation and leave some of your income in that corporation, you can pay a low rate of corporate tax on the income and have a third person within the couple, so to speak, to split income with. Not everyone can do it, but a high income earner who doesn't need all their income has a real corporate advantage.
I understand the principle around ensuring that the spouse is doing something of value for that business. What's the CRA test of that?
So there's really three sort of conditions for a salary to a family member to be tax deductible. It needs to actually be paid to them. It needs to be paid just the same way you pay a third party. The work must be necessary for earning the business income, not just some made up role. And it needs to be reasonable given the work they're doing and even their age. And age would really apply to a child. You can employ your child, but to put a five-year-old to work doing something for your business would have to be in line with what you would pay any other five-year-old, which would probably be nothing. So those are the main conditions. It gets a little more complicated when you get into paying dividends, for example, to a spouse or child who owns shares in your business. The rules changed a few years ago to make it complicated to do so. And normally you'd need to have a family member working at least 20 hours a week in the business to be able to pay them dividends as a shareholder. But lots of complexity. Talk to your accountant if you have corporate income splitting opportunities, because there's some good stuff there for sure.
Spousal loans are also an option. The rate of interest is mandated at 2%, but it's going up to 3%. How does that method work?
So if you have somebody who has a lot of non-registered investments, taxable investments outside your RSP, outside your TFSA, you can't just give that money to your lower income spouse to invest. You can loan it to your spouse at the CRA prescribed interest rate. As you mentioned, currently 2%. It's going up to 3%. And at 3%, it may not be as advantageous. But basically, if you lend $100,000, just to use a simple number, to your spouse at 3%, and they can invest the money and earn a 5% return, that incremental 2% profit can go on the lower income spouse's tax return legitimately. The interest needs to be paid by the lower income spouse back to the higher income spouse, and it needs to be done legitimately, but that is a way that you can move non-registered taxable investment income onto a lower income spouse's tax return.
Seems like a much smaller idea than the idea of paying them a salary if you run a business.
For sure. And frankly, the example of 100,000 was really just to use a simple number. Often you need to have hundreds of thousands of dollars and arguably more to make it really advantageous and a big difference in tax rates. So for a lot of sort of average people, the better income splitting opportunities, I think, are not so much income splitting in a traditional sense, but more income planning, I suppose, you know, making RSP deductions in the name of the higher income spouse, where you're getting a bigger tax refund for that contribution. And in retirement, it gets a lot easier to split income with a lower income spouse and ideally equalize your incomes completely.
Right. I mean, in pre-retirement, that sort of says if you've got two incomes, let's be sure that the higher income person is doing everything they can to reduce that taxable income. Yeah. Yeah. Tell us a bit more about the spousal RRSP.
So a spousal RSP used to be really, really popular until about 15 years ago. It still has its place, and I'll explain why. So a spousal RSP is an RSP that a higher income spouse can contribute to based on their RSP room. They claim the tax deduction on their tax return. However, the account belongs to the lower income spouse, and they're the one in retirement who can take withdrawals from that account and have it taxed on their tax return. Back in 2007, there was a new piece of legislation that was introduced called pension income splitting. And it's a way that some retirees can equalize their incomes, including moving RIF withdrawals. And our RIF is what you convert an RSP into in retirement. You can move RIF withdrawals over to your lower income spouse. So because this pension income splitting makes it easier to split income, spousal RSPs still have a place, but they're now not the only option to split income in retirement for seniors.
When do you need to be thinking about this? I mean, I'm sure you're going to say something cliche like now, or it's never too late or something, but yesterday, but ideally, when should you be thinking about this?
Hey, look, I think people should always be looking at how to optimize their finances. You know, when you're making RSP contributions, if you have a pension plan at work, if you have extra money and you're trying to decide whether to save or pay down debt, now is always the best time to be looking at what you can do. If you've missed opportunities in the past, so be it. You can't do anything about that. But any way that you can pay less tax, especially now when the cost of living isn't high and inflation, and you know, how can you keep more of what you earn and spend less? I mean, look, tax is an expense. And if you can spend less on tax, you've got more to spend on expensive stuff at the grocery store.
What are some of the pitfalls of income splitting? What do people do wrong?
Well, you know, sometimes people will try to achieve a tax outcome that maybe isn't in line with their, you know, overall personal financial objectives or their investment strategy, for example. So I'd never let tax dictate your decision making primarily. I think it should be a secondary thing. Oftentimes people make mistakes, as I alluded to previously, with businesses, you know, paying their spouse in the wrong way or their child. These new tax on split income rules for business owners and family shareholders, people can certainly make mistakes there. I think the best thing that somebody can do, even if you do your own taxes, do a little bit of research, maybe even do a consultation with an accountant or somebody who's got good tax planning experience in order to understand if you're doing everything that you can be doing. Even if you go back to doing your own tax returns thereafter, getting some advice from a professional or doing your due diligence can help you pay less tax as a family.
We talk so much about saving for retirement and so little about what happens once you are retired in the decumulation phase. Thanks for planting some seeds for us, Jason. We appreciate it.
No problem. So much time that people spend accumulating their assets, decumulation. There's a lot of, you know, there's not a lot enough attention, I think, that is paid to that. So, you know, really important way to have more to spend in retirement if you can pay less tax and figure out how best to split your income.
100%. Jason Heath, Managing Director of Objective Financial Partners. Thank you. Thank you very much.